You're in the mix with Bartkov Radio.
Either you a part of the problem or you a part of the solution. What's your contribution to life? So many people complain, always talk about change, yo. But what's your contribution to life? Yo, either you with it or ain't with it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
We've talked a little bit about Tom Armstrong Williams getting caught accepting bribes to lie on Bush's behalf. There's an argument now whether or not what he did was legal, but without a doubt, it's unethical. I mean, apparently the way this worked, they said, hey, Armstrong, would you talk up this No Child Left Behind stuff for us? Would you really put your reputation and a lot of power behind it so we could get off the ground with you people? And he said, no, I'm sorry, Mr. President, or whoever the guy making the bribe is. I don't believe in it. I don't think it's going to do anything for black kids. I'd be crazy to recommend this. And he says, what if we was to pay you $240,000? And Tom Armstrong Williams said, ooh, sign that check. I'm your boy. Every Republican talking head I know of is in the same position. They're being paid vast amounts of money to lie to the people. And nobody ever points that out. They say, oh, here's so-and-so from the so-and-so Institute. Well, yeah. He was hired by Richard Mellon Scaife, given, you know, $500,000 a year to get up there and lie his ass off. And he goes on a show, and when he comes home from the show, he opens his email, and he gets an email from Mr. Scaife saying either good job or you didn't hit very hard on that. Apparently you're not wanting another $500,000 next year. So, oh, yes, sir, Mr. Scaife, I'm sorry, I'll go back and fix it next time. I won't let him get me again. And they just sent out there to lie again and again. You can't make any money telling the truth in this country. You have to lie. And Tom Armstrong Williams got caught. He's not even, he's sort of straddling the apology fence. Listen to some of this. Armstrong Williams, who is paid by Bush, don't let him give you any of that, he paid by the Education Department. No, he's paid by the federal government that Bush controls. So Bush paid him to promote Bush's education policies. Says the public outcry and his firing by the company that syndicated his column are, quote, the price you pay for a mistake. Now, he didn't take a bribe. He made a mistake. Isn't that interesting? USA reported on Friday that Williams, a prominent black pundit, was paid $240,000 to promote No Child Left Behind as part of a $1 million department contract with the Ketchum Public Relations firm. The contract required Williams to comment on Bush's program on his TV and radio show to interview Secretary Rod Page and produce radio spots that aired on his show. Williams said he deeply regrets the actions. Quote, it's important that I have a credible voice. A little too late for that, Sparky. And that I'm not perceived as being paid for what I say. Well, of course you are. That's exactly what quid pro quo means. I give you a check and you say what I tell you to say. That's exactly what that means. Quote, this is my responsibility. I blame no one. I get the message and I will be better. Now, this is almost like saying I'm sorry. But he didn't want to say I'm sorry. But you remember when Clinton got caught and he said he was sorry? Everybody in Washington said, no, you're not sorry. You're sorry you got caught. I can live with that if that's the standard we apply to everybody. Because when people screw up, they pretty much know they're screwing up. It is possible to screw up accidentally. But if you're cheating on your husband or your wife, you didn't accidentally do that and, oh, I made a mistake. No, you made the decision that you're going to do that. This includes Clinton or Gingrich or anybody who ever cheated. You consciously make decision. What you tell yourself in your mind, oh, I'd like to get me some of that, and I'll bet I could do it without getting caught. And then when you get caught, you think, oh, Christ, what have I done? Oh, my God, did I make a big mistake? So in your head, maybe you lie to yourself. Tell yourself it was a mistake like Armstrong's doing. But in reality, you try to get it. It's the same way with stealing. You can't accidentally steal. Oh, sure, some money could end up in your account through some odd situation, but when you steal money, what you're saying is, I'll bet I could put this money in my account and nobody would ever know. And if I got caught, I could say, oh, is that your money? Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. But in reality, when you steal the money, what you're saying is, I think I can get away with this. That's exactly what Tom Armstrong Williams said, that I'll bet I can take this quarter. And how does it work with the, I don't know if he's super rich, but does he just take apparently $1 million check to his bank and just stamp on the back of it, Ketchum Public Relations for deposit only, and put $1 million in the bank? You would think a teller at the bank would look down and say, I wonder why the Education Department is paying this guy $1 million. Why wouldn't that teller pick up a phone and make a call to, well, I started to say Drudge, but he would never, he only outs Democrats. He does not Republicans. But you would think somebody, I mean, people have to know about that. That check's going through people's hands. You'd think somebody would say, hey, wonder what this is about. But Tom Armstrong Williams, he got caught. Here's a good one for you here. People for the American Way, a liberal interest group, today will launch an online campaign urging Williams to return the money. It's the taxpayers' money given out illegally, says Ralph Neese, the group's president. Williams said in an interview Sunday he won't return the money. That would be ludicrous, he said, because they bought advertising and they got it. No, they bought you, boy. They paid for you. They paid for you to be their puppet, and you were their puppet. So, yes, in that quid pro quo, you have fulfilled your obligation, just like when Bush gives $100 million a day to the Kuwaitis and they agree to give him $85 million a day back to launder that oil, to launder that oil money for him. All that means is you're Hyman Roth. You're a crook who you can do business with that will make you money. Tom Armstrong Williams. I can't believe it. You got caught, dude. And if there's any justice in this world, you would be in a whole lot of trouble. Oh, my God, think what would happen if a Democrat had done this. Oh, my God. CNN and Fox News and MSGOP, they would stop everything. They would go round the clock with they got caught. But no, I haven't seen a lot of TV this week or since this story broke. But you just know they're soft pedaling this. They're all going to bring it up and say, well, the lines are gray and you're just not sure what. And yeah, yeah, yeah. But had it been a Democrat, oh, my God. Says several members of Congress are demanding investigation. Maryland Representative Elijah Cummings was among Democrats in Congress who asked Bush to publicly renounce the use of covert propaganda to influence opinion and reveal whether other commentators have been paid to promote his policies. Hey, excellent point. You know there's others. Tom Armstrong Williams is not in the top 10. He might be barely in the top 10 for Negro commentators, but for commentators, he's, what, in the top 75 maybe? You can't have a white guy tie the slave to the tree. You have to have another slave tie the slave to the tree so you can whip him for trying to escape or getting mouthy with the massa. That's how it works. That's what makes him an Uncle Tom. I'm interested to see the feedback. Someone accused me, oh, how dare you use the word Uncle Tom? Oh, how dare you've gone too far? And I don't know. Not in my mind, I didn't. Maybe everyone in the country but me knows that Uncle Tom is a slur that nobody dares say out loud, but as far as I know, it's always been there. It's always going to be there. I think the fellow that wrote in has got it wrong, but I guess the feedback will tell me. Back to the story. It's unbelievable that Bush used limited taxpayer dollars to self-promote No Child Left Behind while underfunding money for our schools, books, technology, and after-school programs, Cummings said. You know, my numbers aren't that good today, but I think they said No Child Left Behind is $9 billion underfunded. And that idiot Kerry, he stood there while in the debates while Bush said again and again, I funded No Child Left Behind. Kerry goes, that's what he did. That's what he did. He would never call him on that. Or if he did, he barely mentioned it in that monotone where it just slid by. It certainly was not a issue in the campaign, and it should have been. If Bush is screwing all the children, Jim makes him sound Catholic, but if he's screwing the children out of $9 billion, you'd think the Democratic nominee would mention that, but no, that wouldn't be polite. And here we go with the responsibility. Bush liar Scott McClellan said the White House is not involved in department's contracts and referred questions to the Education Department, just like Dick Cheney was not involved with Halliburton getting the $100 billion no-bid contracts again and again. And those are only the contracts that have been announced. You know, Osama wins if we get an accurate accounting of what they're spending at Halliburton. Whatever they're telling us about, it's the tip of the iceberg. If they're talking about $100 billion, you know Halliburton got $300 billion. Guarantee, multiply any number they give you by 3 or 4 or 5, because it's only going to get worse. The two big things you got to remember. Would evil men commit crimes and kill people to make $100 million a day? Call me crazy, I say yes. And the second thing to remember, Bush and Cheney were set up for life long before the year 2000 came along. It was their greed that got to them. They weren't satisfied with having $25 or $50 or $100 million. That wasn't enough. They knew that if they could get their hands on the federal government and, oh, gee, what if some kind of terrorism thing were to show up and we could suspend the rules, turn off the Freedom of Information Act, turn off everybody's right to know, turn off the ability of a suspect to go to trial If we could just turn off the Constitution and take over and slap a lid of secrecy and create a shadow government. You don't even hear those words anymore, shadow government. But Bush and Cheney created a shadow government that nobody knows anything about. The Democrats are too shy to ask about it. But I want to know exactly what the hell that means, a shadow government. For all we know, Bush has got an entire budget over here. Maybe that's where the $11 trillion went from the Treasury. He might have whatever money he's spending, he might be doubling that and putting that, all those extra billions in some separate account or separate place. And if he gets caught, he says, oh, the shadow government, remember? If they blow up all of Washington, we had to have a whole entire federal government ready to go somewhere else at the drop of a hat. That's why the $5 trillion are sitting in this Swiss account or where I don't know what you do with $5 trillion. You can't put it in your bank like Tom Armstrong Williams did. They don't even ask the questions. The shadow government, that ought to scare the hell out of everybody. It's not Bush's fault. He did not authorize this. You got to talk to the Education Department because for some reason they wanted to be $9 billion underfunded. Oh, yeah. That sounds right, doesn't it? The Education Department doesn't mind being $9 billion underfunded. They want to push the program that's not funded. What's in it for them? No kids are going to learn anything if the department's $9 billion short. But they pay Toms like Armstrong Williams to go on TV and lie to the other black people. Oh, this is good for our nation. This is good for our young black children. He says with $1 million in his pocket. It's a big crime. It's Goebbels and Hitler all over again. They're just telling one lie after another, using our money to pay these allegedly independent people to lie for them. It's a bribe. How is this any different than Halliburton bribing officials in Africa to get in there and steal that oil? It's just one bribe after another. Nobody holds them responsible. Gee, it's good to be the president. I believe it was last show, we talked about torture. And I said the only way I would ever condone torture would be, you'd have to have two factors. One would be absolute certainty that you've got the right guy. And we're talking about absolute certainty. We're not talking about a hunch. And number two would be a time thing. If you've got word that Al-Qaeda was infiltrating America and was up to no good, well, that doesn't quite get it. But the example we talked about, if we knew for a fact that they were going to hijack a plane and crash it into a skyscraper the next day, a weekday, and kill thousands or tens of thousands of people, in that situation, I would condone torture. Okay. Now we got a letter from Ryan. Subject, Incredibly Irresponsible 24, the TV show. Bart, I don't normally watch 24 or many other programs for that matter, but you're always going on about how wonderful the show is. Now, I guess that could be true to an extent. It is an exciting show. It's a pulse pounder. And also, the thing about 24 is you're always dealing with these monster issues. If you ever notice why most drama shows on TV, they're either doctors or legal or the CSI kinds of shows. But in all three of those cases, you're dealing with life and death. You know, a lawyer show, you're dealing with a guy who's being charged with murder. He's either going to get the needle or he's going to walk free. Now, that's a dramatic situation. Same for the medical shows. A fellow's either going to survive the operation or he's not. He's either going to go on to live another 30, 40 years or he's going to die right there in your hands. So you got a really dramatic situation. But on 24, that's always heightened up about 1,000 times because they're dealing with terrorists and plots Okay, so I don't know. Do I always go on about how wonderful the show is? I'll plead guilty to that just to make things faster. So he tuned in for the big premiere, and I about lost my goddamn mind, he says. Because here's Fox kissing cousin to the Fox News Channel, featuring the protagonist of a popular show shooting a suspect to get intel. And of course, he fesses right up with the legitimate info. Of course, the by-the-book guys have treated this Arab with human dignity for 5 minutes too long, so the Secretary of Defense gets kidnapped anyway. So here's Fox's message: in the war on terror, it's always better to shoot the bastards immediately upon capture, because they will invariably give us reliable information we can successfully act on. I know it's a fantastical TV show. I'm sure Fox would never stoop to using popular media to subversively promote a right-wing nutjob agenda. Christ, I am pissed, Ryan. Well, now, a couple things. One, Kiefer Sullivan is a producer of the show. I think he's a lefty. I think he's a Democrat. I've played snippets from the show, maybe before we got going with the radio, but I played some snippets from the show in the second or third edition. I forget. We're on the fifth one, so they're hard to keep it separate. But on one of them, they raised the question, why would the White House gin up a fake war in the Middle East? And the answer was because they got a pipeline in the, whatever, the Caspian Sea that's going through Afghanistan that they're going to make billions on. I mean, this was the plot behind the entire season that Kiefer was trying to foil. And I was kind of amazed that Fox would let that show go on TV, because the whole point was the White House lied to get us into a war so they could steal the oil in the Middle East. Well, that's what I'm saying about as far as would Fox use this, a popular show, to subvert. I think it's the opposite, as a matter of fact. But that's neither here nor there. The question is torture. And, oh God, how many subscribers am I going to lose right now? But the actions in the premiere of 24, they exactly fit Bart's criteria, which I'm not sure I'm right. I think I'm right. I know that's what I'd do. In the last show, we talked about someone kidnapped your kid, and they were going to kill your kid in less than an hour. And he's sitting there giggling at you because he knows where the kid's hiding, and he's not going to tell you. They're going to murder your kid in an hour, and he's laughing at you. Now, you don't think there's going to be some torture involved there? But in this deal, in the premiere that so angered Ryan, because it's a TV show, you ever notice on a TV show when the star of the show has a hunch, he's always right? So in that regard, Kiefer is always, he's going to be right. He's a producer of the show. He's the hero of the show. So if he has a hunch, he's going to be right. So they've got a suspect that they know is guilty. They're certain of it. And in our example last week, we talked about it's going to happen the next day. Well, in 24, things work hour to hour. Kiefer knew for a fact. He knew for a fact that something huge was going to happen inside the hour. He knew it was going to be in the next 10, 15 minutes, 20, 30 minutes. There just was no time. And he knew it was something really big, and it turned out to be the kidnapping of the Secretary of Defense. And at the end of the show, the Secretary of Defense is on his knees, gagged, with these hooded guys with machine guns standing behind him, just like we've seen, you know, a dozen times from Iraq. And they're going to cut off the Secretary of Defense's head. Now, this is what Kiefer is trying to prevent. They were interrogating the guy, tell us what you know, no, tell us what you know, no. That was going nowhere, and he knew that something major, and again, the stakes we're dealing with here. What if they got pretty strong evidence that there's an atomic bomb in New York or L.A.? Now, what if we're talking about the sudden deaths of, what if we could lose 1 million people in under a minute? I don't know if that's scientifically possible, but if you put whatever the biggest bomb is in downtown Manhattan, would that take out 1 million people on Tuesday at noon? Would it take out 1 million people instantly? If it vaporizes everything within a mile radius, you're probably talking about 1 million people. When we're dealing with those kinds of stakes, it is possible that we may have. Now, see, this has got nothing to do with Gitmo. This has got nothing to do with any of that. What they're doing there, they grabbed every sheep herder they could find, and they're torturing them basically for grins. Maybe they know something, maybe they don't. Let's take a hot poker up their ass and see what they'll tell us. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about immediate action must be taken, or you live with the consequences. That's a good reason to have a moral man in the White House instead of a crazy man who's out to steal the world's oil and use tragedy as an excuse. God, that's a bad way to do it. Bush is to have a guy that would show up at a man's funeral and work the wife to get some secret to where he find out where the oil is. You know, that's our boy Bush. So, Ryan, I'm not sure, I'm pretty sure you're not happy with my answer, but if, now see, you got the big giant if hundreds or thousands of lives are at stake. And on the other side of the balance beam, you got the, for sure, certain terrorist's knee, who's, you know, his knee's going to work, not going to work very good anymore. So, you know, you've got a balancing act there. You got thousands of lives on one hand, you got the bullet in the terrorist's knee on the other hand. Yes, it's wrong to shoot the terrorist, but I don't know, what are you going to do? Thousands of lives. How would America feel if they knew that the terrorist could come grab the Secretary of Defense and lop his head off live on the internet, and this is the world we live in now, to where even a man surrounded by the Secret Service is not safe? Now, you've got a mad panic coast to coast, because anybody can go at any second. Yeah, that's light years away from pre-September 11th America. Well, in closing, yes, he did something dramatic and shocking, because this is a TV show. In real life, they would have had more time. They wouldn't have had to rush to the torture so suddenly. That might be a good debate to have sometime. That might be a good debate to have sometime. The people who say torture is never acceptable, geez, what do you do? But I want to be sure and put some light between me and, you know, someone the other day accused me of being Hannity and O'Reilly because I was pro-torture. Only in the most extreme circumstances, when hundreds or thousands of lives are at stake, would I ever even consider it. Or if it was my kid. But yeah, you hear, torture should not be used lightly, but I can't get away from the fact that there are times when something needs to be used. The most dramatic and extreme of circumstances might require dramatic and extreme measures. And I don't know how you can argue with that generalization. If the stakes are so high, you've got to do the unusual. You might even have to do the wrong because the stakes are that high. But that's not what we got in Cuba. One other thought on the 24 show. I feel like for the first time, I've always said Robert Bianco, the critic for the USA Today TV section, I always trusted him for years and years. He took over for Matt Rausch, who now works for TV Guide. I always trusted him. And then Robert Bianco took over for him, and Robert Bianco is almost always right. I feel like for the first time I was flat out lied to, but I guess it's an opinion. When he wrote the review for the show 24, here's what he said. The show to watch tonight is 24, which offers another two-episode special before settling into its regular run next week. In his zeal to find the boss's kidnappers, Jack acts a bit too impetuously at the end of the first hour, as he is sometimes wont to do. But the twist resolves itself fairly quickly, and it's followed in the evening's second episode by a turn that is as chilling as any 24 has ever taken. So, I'm sitting here looking at the clock, and it's 8:45, and I'm thinking, well, in the next 15 minutes, something really shocking and chilling is going to happen. Oh my God, what's it going to be? And in that time period, two things happen. Jack was following the bad guy. He was on a lonely road, and he couldn't just follow him because he'd be the only two cars on the road. And he had to follow him because the guy was going to where the Secretary of Defense was being held. But he had to follow him, but he couldn't follow him. So he radios into the home office there, I need the satellite. And they said, satellite's not going to be ready for 5 minutes. And this guy's getting gas. He's getting ready to go on this lonely road. So Jack's got to do something. Somehow he can't let this guy get on the lonely road because then he'll lose him forever. But if he does something to slow him down, the guy's going to know he's been made, as they say in the business. So Jack has to do something. So like me or you would do, he puts a ski mask over his face and runs in the convenience store with a gun and holds it up. Sure, that's a nutty thing to do, but the best part about 24 probably is the time thing. There's just no time. There's no other options. If you got a better idea, let's have it. The clock's ticking and it's going to happen right now, so you got to do something right now. So he runs in the convenience store with a ski mask on. And he holds him up, you know, give me your wallet, give me your cell phones, lay down on the floor. He's doing all this just to delay the guy. And the trick is, after a while, once he gets notification on his cell phone that satellites are available, then he can run out the door, hide somewhere, and when the guy takes off, they got him on satellite, and then they can find the Secretary of Defense. But, of course, it didn't work that way. A cop shows up. He radios for help. Pretty soon the place is lousy with cops. Anyway, that's one of the shocking, chilling things that doesn't seem too shocking and chilling. Sure, holding up a store is shocking and chilling, but it's funny. They introduce the characters as the terrorist dad, the terrorist mom, and the terrorist teenage son. Well, the terrorist teenage son has a girlfriend. She saw the building where the Secretary of Defense is being held, and so they have to kill her. And they told the son, you got to kill your pretty American girlfriend. And he said, well, I don't want to kill my pretty American girlfriend. She's the prettiest American girl I ever saw, and I don't want to kill her. And they said, well, you have to. And he refused to do it, so mom made some tea. And after 5 or 10 minutes after the girl drank some tea, she got dizzy and fell to the floor. Sure, it's a terrible thing to poison or drug someone, but is that chilling and shocking? Is that one of the most chilling and shocking things that you've ever seen on a 24 episode? Gee, I don't know. We've had an atomic bomb go off. We've had an entire luxury hotel break out with whatever smallpox or whatever disease makes you bleed from the eyes and the ears. And, you know, we've seen some shocking things on the show, including the Secretary of Defense about to get his head lopped off. But somehow, Robert Bianco thought either the poisoning of the girl or Jack holding up a convenience store was so chilling, he just had to warn us. I guess being lied to is a matter of interpretation, but I felt like I was at least misled.
Intelligence gathered by this and other governments leaves no doubt that the Iraqi regime continues to possess some of the most lethal weapons ever devised.
This summer, it came from Mid-America. Oklahoma, knuckle drag. Bart Cop Radio.